we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Sutton Guardian read by Harriet Cass.
A Sutton woman had an extra £45,000 to spend on Christmas presents for her family and friends when her balls dropped in a national bingo game.
And our thanks to Mrs. L. War of Epsom for sending that in. Now, let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Andy Hamilton and Fred McCauley. And opposite them on my left, Carrie Quinlan and Mark Steele. Right, Andy, let's start with you. Who's not benefiting from the Tories?
This is people who haven't had jobs. People who haven't had jobs have got to go and they've got to clean parks and stuff. I felt like I've seen these proposals about 800 times in my life now. The proposals about getting jobless people back to work and they're going to do community service. They get offered three jobs. I think it's sort of slightly biblical. They get offered three jobs, and if they're reasonable job offers, I don't know what is a reasonable job offer. If you get offered head of BBC One, that's not... If you get reasonable job offers and you turn them all down, then you have to go and scrape up dog crap and stuff like that.
You saying that's not a good job?
Fred, look, I'm sorry to drag up your CV, mate. I mean, you don't have to get defensive about it. I know you got a lot out of it. But
it's on there above comedian.
It is an odd idea, though, isn't it? What does constitute a reasonable job offer? You know, how many times you go down to the job centre and somebody said, High Court Judge, you think, well, I don't know, what are the hours? I don't mind. Sleep a lot.
Apparently, actors used to always put on their unemployment benefit that they were a tree surgeon, because no tree surgeon jobs would ever come up. So you'd be able to go and audition and still claim your benefits.
I like that. I used to put West End evenings only. David Cameron has launched a three strikes and you're out rule to get the long-term unemployed back on their feet. And under this rule, anyone making themselves unavailable for work three times in a row loses their benefits. And I think if we applied the same rule to elections, they'd be barred from standing again for decades.
What about Blunkett? He's only got one go left, isn't he?
And then, yes.
he'll have his benefits cut. Hasn't he been sacked twice?
Yes, I think he has, actually. Yeah, so he's got one more chance. Yeah. Oh, God, he might come back. What a hideous thought. So that is 2 points there to Andy. Fred McCauley. Frankly, my dear Fred, who doesn't give a goddamn?
Is this taking the Lord's name in vain?
It is.
Blasphemy.
Yes, indeed.
Which I think is a kind of redundant law, isn't it, anyway? And again, as I often have to point out, we have different legal systems between Scotland and England, or England and Wales, as you like to call yourselves. And I think the last conviction down here was some 80-odd years ago to somebody who was a persistent offender and he got, 9 months in jail. Whereas in Scotland, the penalty is death. Quite right, too. I actually think that we should have a sort of quota of the number of times that you can take the Lord's name in vain. Because, and also, there is a kind of irony that you have to go through the legal process if you do blaspheme, because if there is a God, he's going to know. And he's not going to need some petty magistrate to sort things out. He's going to collar you when your days are numbered.
You better stay inside during thunderstorms, that's
over,
what you're saying.
Oh, here you come. Over you come, over here, Fred. Well, you were within your quota, and then you had to take up golf. Every time the ball lipped the hole.
That's the thing, is that if...
Which is a golfing term, incidentally.
The thing that puzzles me about it as well is the idea that, the one person that you shouldn't take the mickey out of is God. No, anybody else, but not God. The idea that God is more sensitive than anybody else, there's not a lot of evidence for this in the Old Testament, does it? It doesn't say, and then God saw that man was worshipping other deities and said unto man, that could be really hurtful, actually. And now this afternoon I shall eat much chocolate and am in need of a hug. He flooded the entire planet because people weren't worshipping him enough. And also, the flood, it says... This is the bit that's always got me about the flood, right? As if it's not bad. And it's sort of painted as if it's now. Sort of, the lovely little thing with the flood and dear old Noah and his wife. And they got all the animals and it was lots of fun. Everyone was killed, is what happened. And then it said, and God saw that man was worshipping other deities and destroyed all the creatures upon the earth. And I thought, well, that's hardly fair. What about all the animals then? They must have been going, hang on, it's not our fault. If man's wicked, I'm a starfish.
It could be the end of Britain's archaic blasphemy laws after the Church of England signalled... How did they do that? It's flags or something, I don't know. Signalled it was prepared to back the government's plans to consider abolishing the current legislation. The motion was initially put forward by Lib Dem MP Evan Harris. See that? The Lib Dems. You may not be able to pick their leader out of a lineup, but they do speak sense. Right. 2 points there to Fred, who I think originally a long time ago got asked the question.
Indeed.
Carrie, and I apologise in advance for having to ask you this, but frankly, it's our own government's fault for being so dull. Carrie, whose crocodile tears softened the granite state?
Hillary Clinton's.
It is indeed.
I'm enormously excited about the American elections, if for no other reason than it means that when Bush comes on television, everyone goes, who?
He lost, though, Obama, after all that.
After all that, he did.
It's not over yet, though.
No, but he lost that one. I think maybe he's not being black enough. Is the problem. I think he should, his next interview, he should go, me not get vexed because I and I lose him vote upon in primary. Let's see if that works.
But it is straight after Iowa. It was a vote for black people and against women. And then New Hampshire was for women and against black people. And that just seems to be simplifying it a bit too much.
In the American society, are you more racist or more sexist?
It's not as if with the Republicans they're saying, well, we prefer Vietnam prisoners of war to evangelical preachers. It's not quite as blanket as that. We like white men, but we don't like white men.
The thing that I rather like about American politics is this old dynastic thing that's going on, Clintons and Bushes, the idea that you just hand power over to a son or a wife. Think how much fun the news quiz would be if the next election was being fought between Cherie Blair and Mark Thatcher. It'd be brilliant. The jokes would just write themselves, wouldn't they? I know nothing about Barack Obama, and in that regard, I'm very typical of the average American voter, because he only became a congressman 3 years ago, and it's very hard to work out what he's about from what he says, because a lot of it is a bit inflated, to put it mildly. But she at least has got experience of government, because she was effectively the number two when Bill Clinton was president. And if you add up all the time that Bill would have spent in cupboards with interns, she's probably already been president for about 4 years.
Oh, I'd go hope over experience every time. I get incredibly excited about it, and then people say, but why? And I go, I don't know.
But the sentences don't... Nothing he says sort of makes sense. I watched one the other day. He said, in this great story that is America, which I think sounds rather dated now, all that, the great adventure that is America. He says, in this great story that is America, three magic words have resonated down through the ages. Yes, we can. And I thought, that's not Martin Luther King, that's Bob the Builder.
I'm still thinking about the idea of Mark Thatcher against Cherie Blair. He'd be lost and she'd be selling his map on eBay. Well, it's the race to be the United States Democratic presidential candidate, which at the moment has a slight egg and spoon feel to it. It took a marginally interesting turn this week when Hillary Clinton snatched New Hampshire's nomination away from Barack Obama, who had been predicted a victory after winning in Iowa. So 2 points to carry. Mark, who may not be working for much longer and will have to fall back on his pension? Clue is in work and pension. I'm trying to help you here.
Peter Hain.
Oh, is it Peter Hain?
Yeah.
He's been fiddling money, hasn't he?
Well, I... Sorry, the lawyer at the
Yeah, there's
just
no question about
view.
It. He's guilty. Cool.
I can see the...
That's only the half of it, that bit he's admitted to.
You have just given a lawyer a heart attack, so if we could just start again.
This will be Peter Hain, who some people, for a reason that may or may not turn out to be accurate, have suggested that it is a possibility that some of the money which found its way into his coffers may be
hesitation.
Is beyond the law. Which seems peculiar because everybody knows he did it.
The real story, to be fair to Peter Hain,
right,
is that it appears he did not declare some financial contributions to his election campaign, but his defence is that he was under the impression that this was official Labour policy. He he actually decided to do his own accounts because he noticed that there'd been no declarations after June, I think it was. So he decided to sit down and do it himself. That was the only way to straighten this thing out. Now, the worrying thing about Peter Hain is he was doing that. He's also Secretary of State for Pensions and Secretary for Wales. So I don't think much Welsh stuff would have been... Because it's a big job, isn't it, going through your accounts? No, I think there was no government in Wales for about 3 months.
He's gone, we can do what we like. He's doing his accounts every Friday, we can just muck about on that.
It's very insulting, is it, to the Welsh and the Scots, in fact, because Des Brown, our Minister for Defence, is also Minister for Scotland, isn't he? We do give the impression that governing Scotland and Wales is a job you can sort of do after the kids have gone to bed.
Well, you have to remember we have our own governments as well, though.
Well, you call it a government, friend.
Work and Pensions Secretary Peter Hain faces an investigation into undisclosed donations to his unsuccessful campaign for Labour's deputy leadership. He's accused of failing to declare thousands of pounds in donations from trade unions, city banks and the National Association of Sunbed Operators. At the end of round one, the scores are Andy and Fred have got 4 points and Carrie and Mark have also got 4. It's exactly level. Start round two with a press association news story.
Samurai swords will be banned from next April, the government has announced. The Home Office Minister Vernon Coker said, in the wrong hands, these swords are dangerous weapons.
And our thanks to Mark Gentry of Uxbridge for spotting that. Fred, why will Big Mother be watching youth?
This is schools reports going online, I think. There is a flaw in this, in that not everybody is online at home. The theory is that you can see what your children's reports are, and also registration as well.
Well, their behaviour, everything, their attendance of the lot.
See, I like the old-fashioned way. I mean, we've got 3 kids, one still at school, and you know, you get that once a term. You get the opportunity to go along and meet the teacher, and they can tell you how inadequate your children are. I was at my son's school, went in, and this teacher looked up at me and he said, "You're Fred McCauley." I said, "Yes." And he said, "What are you doing here?" I said, the first name in the list there. I said, "The boy, Macaulay." I said, "I'm his father." He said, "Are you?" He said, "I mean, I've seen you hanging about the school. I didn't know you were a parent." And he said, no, I'm sorry. He said, "It's just I've never put two and two together." And I said, "You're the maths teacher." I said, "No wonder he failed his test, you know."
Very hard on the kids as well, because they can't come home and say, "I've lost my report." Yeah. Unless they trash your computer when you're not there. "Oh, look, the computer's accidentally...
I've deleted your report."
..and fallen out the window.
But given this government's record of maintaining records and documents, your kids' misgivings and failures are going to be available for everybody to see.
Yeah.
That's not right. So, you know, the next step will just be that you'll have webcams in the classrooms and that'll attract all the wrong kind of people.
Yeah, the sort of people that hang around schools where they're not necessarily a parent.
Yeah.
The government has announced plans to enable parents to access information about their child's school attendance, behaviour and academic performance via a secure online computer system. Comedy word there, being secure. Parents will be given daily computerised reports on their child's behaviour, school attendance and academic progress. The other option, of course, if you're not online, is you ask your child, "How was school today?" Carrie, who has been advised to go west for a premier job? It's an official, no longer in power, but we still want to have a dig at them question.
Oh, God, is it Blair?
I'm afraid so, yes. He's always good for a laugh.
Do you know, I couldn't honestly give a toss.
And 2 points for Carrie.
I never thought I'd hear myself say this, but I would rather talk about Jeremy Clarkson. Because at least something funny happened to him this week.
What happened to him? I did miss that.
Oh, yeah. Well, Clarkson, as you know, is a holder of opinions unencumbered by fact. Mm. And he wrote in one of his columns for, I can't remember which paper, I'm assuming it's not The Independent, that this whole disc getting lost and lots of people's bank details getting lost was a big fuss over nothing. And so he printed his bank details in his newspaper column, got his next statement, and someone had set up a direct debit for £500 to Diabetes UK, £500 a month. Exactly. I only think it's a shame it wasn't Greenpeace, frankly. But, yeah, as for Blair, I don't care. Well, can't so, he just go away?
They're giving him a big city job now, yeah. Aren't they? But this is on top of the fact that, and I don't know how you top this, Blair being the Middle East peace envoy. It's just unbeatable. And I've spent ages trying to think, oh, it's like what? But nothing is as mad. I thought, oh, it'd be like putting Steve McClaren back in charge of the England team, but that's not as mad. Ellen MacArthur, chairman of the Flat Earth Society, no, that's not as mad. Amy Winehouse, secretary of the Taliban, no, that's not as mad. There's just no way that you can top it, is there? If anyone could think of one.
Well, I liked when it said Blair gets bank job, and I suddenly thought, oh, how marvellous, little name badge behind the counter. Had to sell me a credit card. I thought it was a marvellous idea. Yes, American investment bank JP Morgan Chase he's going to work for. I mean, he's going to make a fortune. He's got £500,000 a year at the new job. He's got £5 million book deal and up to £1 million every month from public speaking fees. I mean, just think that kind of money, he'll buy himself a peerage. It's astonishing, isn't it?
But when he was in power, Sandy, I don't know if you remember, but it was put to him that he was going to take up this job, and he denied it. So he lied to us. Can you believe that?
You don't think he's become Catholic just to keep that position of Pope open as a possibility?
Under Cameron's three strikes law, he had to take this job, or else it would have been the dog crap.
Oh. I wasn't Good. Thinking that through. Mark, who's not been mentioning the war? Who has not been mentioning the war? Anybody know the reason, Rajami?
Not mentioning the
report
war.
Is it they've been told off?
Yes.
For glamorising it, adverts, and not making it clear what the army does.
Yeah.
Which I thought most people knew.
Yes, apparently people are unaware that being a soldier involves being shot at.
Even Status Quo understood this years ago with their hit in the army now. And if they have had an 80-year career in which they couldn't learn a fourth chord, and they've managed to fathom that the army involves shooting people and getting shot at, I think most people can't they?
The armed forces have changed, though, because I went down to Devon, to Totnes last year, and I got picked up by a minicab driver at the station. And
were you looking for a lift, or just...
Yeah, yeah. No, I have to go that far, you know, just to have any chance of picking anyone up. Now, this taxi driver collected me. He mentioned that he got a lot of fares who were going to the Naval College at Dartmouth. And he said that the day before, he'd picked up a man in Navy uniform, and he'd said, where are you headed to Dartmouth Naval College? He said, yeah, I'm attending a course on extreme warfare. He said, but we had a bereavement, so I've actually missed the first day. And the taxi driver said, oh, that's a shame, you missed the first day of the course. He said, yeah, but it's all right, it was just health and safety.
According to a report funded by the Joseph Rowntree Trust, a group set up to promote the Quaker movement and fruit pastels, claims that the army is glamorising war with misleading recruitment campaigns that target children as young as 7. Army adverts aimed at children of 7. I must have missed those. Join the infantry, get free sweets. And they complained that the brochure, Infantry Soldier, for example, doesn't even mention the words kill or risk. I'm not sure, as a slogan, join the army, you risk getting killed, would be the way forward.
Yeah. Or join the army and we'll manage the risk of you getting killed.
Exactly, yeah.
So are people sort of joining the army and then going, to where? With a gun? This is happening in other jobs, firefighters. Put that out!
At the end of round 2, Carrie and Mark have got 6, but Andy and Fred are way in the lead with 10.
Hold on a second. Before we start that, how did that happen?
I don't know. I don't do the scoring. Moving on.
It's just people the BBC misleading the public yet again.
Well, I had engineered it that you were going to win, but I may change that now, Karen. Before we start round 3, here is a notice from the Market Lavington Community Newsletter.
A grant of £400 has been made towards the cost of maintaining the churchyard of St Mary's. Because it is the established church, burial is available to all villagers, once they are dead.
And our thanks to Martin Alford of Devizes for sending us that. Andy, whose behaviour just isn't cricket?
This is the Indian tour of Australia, which has become highly acrimonious because a couple of players got in a bit of a barney, and the Australians alleged that the Indian player called the Australian player a monkey because he's the only black player in the Australian team. So they said it was a racial abuse. The Indians said that, no, actually, monkey is just a general term of abuse in India because they have a lot of monkeys or something like that. And it's all got very... The Indians have threatened to take their bat and ball away, and the Australians have showed surprisingly thin skins, given that for many years they've been the pioneers of abuse on cricket fields and sledging. I personally am a huge fan of Australian abuse and sledging because one of the funniest things I think I ever heard was Phil Tufnell was fielding in the outfield in Australia once, and a voice from the crowd said, "Hey, Tufnell, can we borrow your brain? Only we're building an idiot." Which I think is one of the finest comedy lines I've ever heard. And as I speak, I think it's all a bit up in the air. It's going to appeal and... they replaced an umpire, didn't they? That was a sort of attempt at a compromise.
The black one?
Yes, oddly enough.
Oh, God, I'm losing the will to live.
It's cricket.
I don't understand this game. I really don't. I mean, it's just incomprehensible
to me. It's the best game in the world. It takes a week to play. You stop twice a day for meals. That...
Yeah.
Is my idea of a sport.
It's not a sport. It's something to fill the long, empty days before you die.
That's what sport is. Well, you could say the same about anything. You say, oh, what's the point of opera? Just a load of fat people making a big swirling, blubbery noise.
The Indian cricket team's tour of Australia was thrown into chaos when Indian spinner... Oh, dear, I'm guessing it's got nothing to do with plates.
Was he left arm over the wicket or was he bowling right arm googlies?
Yeah, off spin or leg.
Sorry, did I nod off? Let's get on. 2 points to Andy. Mark, which ancient creatures were really ticked off?
Oh, yeah, this is the dinosaurs. But it's not true, though, is it? There's some theory that apparently it was little bugs that killed off the dinosaurs. And all the stuff that we've previously known. Because if you're going to sell a science book, what you need to do is just come up with a new theory, such as, the dinosaurs all died out because they were depressed or something like that.
Yeah. Body image.
Yeah.
Tyrannosaurus thinking, I've got these little arms. Brachiosaurus thinking, I'm so big.
Yeah, well, and other people were upset in their feelings. That's why they had to be brought in a Brontosaurus act, because people were going, oh, hey, look, with your long neck, and the Stegosaurus was bullying and everything, had to be called in. This would go somewhere, but it would probably take an hour.
But there
anyway,
is
the dinosaurs of the Cretaceous period were killed off, so it seems, by insects rather than by an asteroid hitting the Earth or any such thing.
It could make quite a dull sequel in the Jurassic Park series, though, couldn't it?
A new theory suggests that dinosaurs weren't killed off by a giant asteroid, but were the victims of diseases carried by insects. And this is put together in a report by entomologists George and Roberta Poyner. I love that. A married couple who just bugs the whole way. They believe that insects infected the dinosaurs. Well, either that or they spent too long in an NHS hospital. Dinosaurs became extinct 65 million years ago, although they live on in the popular imagination, thanks to their work presenting Strictly Come Dancing. 2 points there.
Are we doing Sarkozy or anything like that?
Not today, no, but I have a strong suspicion that week after week, Mr. Sarkozy's exciting love life will reappear, don't you?
No, it'll all be over by next week.
Oh, do you think?
Yes.
You think it's all done?
I don't like him, but at least it's interesting, isn't it? Imagine Gordon Brown doing anything that interesting.
Yeah.
Alistair Darling.
You don't want that kind of person running your country, though. You don't want a middle-aged man who's just started going out with a supermodel running the country. Because when someone runs into his office and the Elysee and says, oh, my God, the Americans have attacked the Iranians, it's all kicking off in the Middle East, he's going to be sitting there saying, do you know I'm going out with a supermodel? Here's a photograph of her, look. And here's another one, look.
Gordon Brown going, you'll have noticed I've changed my tie.
That's right. Tomorrow morning, Elle Macpherson gets an unexpected invitation to them. Well, hello.
It's light blue now.
I remember
what
this
do you know about interest rates, Ellie?
I remember this programme when we did the questions I asked. Right, now...
What about chickens? We're doing chickens.
We're finished. Oh. I need a drink. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. Hamilton.
Well, maybe we don't want to do cuttings, Sandy. I don't know. New year, new brooms. Come on.
Do tell me about Jeremy Clarkson having lunch with Nicolas Sarkozy.
This is from Jack Evans, and it's from the Roteith College Prospectus for Adult Leisure Courses in the Gardening and Floristry section. It says, course, service your lawnmower. Of interest to lawnmower owners.
Mr. McCauley.
This is from Tara Kera in Oldham, and it's church notices for St. Mary's, 25th of November. Mass on Thursday, there's the Rescue Society, there's the Christmas Fair on Saturday, 8th of December. Choir robes are required, and the Low Self-Esteem Support Group will meet on Thursday at 7 p.m. Please use the back door.
Ms. Quillen.
I feel a bit bad reading this one. It's from the Arizona Daily Star. It doesn't start well. A University of Arizona law school student and former Miss Arizona contestant has been indicted on 5 felony charges for kidnapping, torturing and robbing her ex-boyfriend. That's not the funny bit. After 8 to 10 hours, the victim was able to grab her gun. The gun went off and he ran out of the house screaming for help. That also... Don't panic, we're not there yet. The search warrant inventory filed in court says that police subsequently found an expended bullet at the house, along with 45 caliber ammunition, plastic gloves, marijuana, the victim's wallet and briefcase, and a copy of How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Mr. Steele.
Well, now, this is a true story. Just as we were coming up here, I thought, I had me cut in. Where's it gone? I couldn't find it, and I was sort of, you were all up here, and I was scurrying about in a panic thinking, I've lost me cutting. And I had a brilliant cutting that I thought, oh, no, I'm not going mad. I put it down and I had me cutting. And it was a really funny cutting that I thought was very, very humorous concerning a course about a lawnmower. So at least we've cleared up that little mystery.
I'm so sorry, Mark. I just thought, you know, the producer leaves them out. I just thought that was...
You know, I was in a panic. Then I could hear, you know, I thought any moment now, well, Mark's still somewhere or other, but I'm going to be like a mad person. Where's my cutting, like some professor?
Wait, do you want to
just put it down on the...
Was that your wallet as well?
OK. Let's take a look at the final score. Kerry and Mark have got 10 points, but this week's winners are Andy and Fred with 14. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from the brochure of a hotel in Norfolk, spotted by Tony Robson.
Honeymoon suite. Double occupancy, £195. Single, £140.
And with that, goodbye.
Kirsten Bart and the news crews were Andy Hamilton, Fred McCauley, Gary Quinlan and Mark Steele. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Harriet Cass. The chair's script was written by Lucy Clark, Simon Littlefield and Danielle Ward, with additional material by Matthew Morton. The producer was Ed Morrish.